Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're in season 4. This is episode 4. And I don't even have a title for this episode yet, y'all. I just hit the start button without even thinking of a title. How about this title is called... I don't know yet. I can't come up with a title. You'll see it when it's uploaded. You'll see what the title is. I can't think of a title right now. Probably because it's like right at 5:15 in the morning and my brain is not completely on, but that's when the Holy Spirit shows up and he does his thing. And I can't take any credit for it. Speaking of which, we need to pray. We need to pray. Dear Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for allowing us, Father God, to be able to come to you together in agreement, Father, on one accord, studying your word to show ourselves approved, rightly dividing the word, Father God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. Lord, I thank you for your word today. I thank you that it's a blessing always to us, Father God, showing us, Lord, your Son, Jesus Christ, in every aspect of our lives. Father, I thank you for just using my voice, Lord, to carry the word. Father God, I pray right now that you have your way. Come against all distractions, delays, hindrances right now in mighty name of Jesus. And I plead the blood of Jesus over this word, and it's sealed by the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all. So, being that this is titleless right now, usually how this happens with the podcast, like, is something happens every week. Something happens, and it's like, man, this is gonna be the episode, and that's really how this happens. I do my best to actually study and look over the word and everything, but a good bit is just based off experience. So if you're wondering, like, how is she getting all this content? Stuff happens. The Lord allows things to happen during the week. So, one thing that happened during the week, and I'm trying to figure out how I can say this without giving away too much detail, because I actually am getting ready to talk about a situation. It was such a blessing to me, and the Lord really allowed me to see Romans 8:28 walked out through two of my students this week. So if you're not familiar with the scripture, Romans 8:28, I know the verse is just, I'm trying to remember how it start off. I know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. But I don't know if it's for I know. That's going to bother me. So that's going to bother me. Let me see real quick. And we know. Okay, there we go. And we know that all things work together for the good to those who are the call, for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Okay. This is a very popular verse of scripture. You'll see it on shirts. You'll see it posted everywhere. And we know that all things work together for the good for those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. And it's like, you got to sit with that for a minute, because it says, and we know. So knowing means that it's a guarantee. Like, you, there's no doubt there because you know. Let me look my word up. Oh my goodness. Already doing deep dives in the etymology of things. No, to have established or fixed in the mind. It's already established or fixed in the mind. We know that all things work together. And it's easy to say that scripture when you're not going through stuff. That is one of the, it's like, oh yeah, we know all things work together. That's like Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We love to say that scripture, but when we going through something that we, no, where's your scripture? I can do all things. You can't do, yes you can, because you be quoting the script. Like, it's easy to quote scriptures like these when nothing's going on. But when something is going on and something difficult and challenging, we forget and abandon those scriptures. Why do we do that? You know, that's where that phrase, it's easier said than done, comes to mind, because I can quote Romans 8:28 all day. Actually, that was my anchor scripture for the year last year. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It was different. Listen, because I'm sitting here like, how all things work together for my good this year? But they did. I may not have seen them. I may not have seen every detail, but it all got worked together for my good. I guarantee you that. I told y'all about the guy I saw that I was talking to walking into Target with somebody else. It turned into a book, so it worked out for my good. I got paid off of that. I paid off the heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? Like, it worked out for my good. It didn't feel good when it was getting worked, but it worked out for my good. That's a word right there. It don't feel good, but it's going to work out for my good. these young men, are former students of mine, and basically, without going into too much detail, and you know, because I want to keep my job, but you know, and to be honest, I don't even know all the details. I know what they and I talked about when they came to my classroom before they transferred to another school. But so there was a situation and they had to transfer to another school. And I remember, with, like I said, without going into too much detail, but they came to see me before they left. And of course, we were all teary-eyed and I had to hold it together because I had a class at that time when they stopped by. And I'm like, I can't cry. Because I'm going to tell you what, being a teacher, being an educator, and if I have any educators listening, you know, y'all will get this. Those students become your children. Whether you want them to or not, they actually become your children. And you watch out for them as if they were your own. And I don't even have children, but there are a handful of students that I've always said, if I had children, I would want my child to have that attribute that this child exemplifies. Like, it's, they get your heart. They will. They'll get your heart. And my boys, all my boys that I have ever taught, they treat me like I'm their mom. Like, I am their school mom. And it's like, I'm not trying to be the school mom, but they, and it's so funny. I remember we had a code red last semester, and I was trying to get to the floor because, you know, protocol is like everybody's on the floor, whatever, you know. I was trying to get to the floor, but I couldn't because all the boys gathered around me. They formed a shield, a hedge of protection around me. Like, seriously, I couldn't move. So I was sitting at my desk. I couldn't move. They were under my desk. They were around me. Some of them were behind me. Like, they formed a whole fortress. Now, all the girls was all and on their side, but all the boys came and gathered around. I'm like, and I'm not mad. It just, it's like they really do. They see me as their mom, and that is such an honor. And I praise God. He gets all the glory for that, because I could be one of these teachers that none of the kids like, which I don't go to work for the kids that like me, but it's very difficult to educate or to teach someone and you have no relationship. They don't like you. They don't want to be around you. That's very hard and difficult to do. So I praise God for his favor. But these two students, they had to transfer to another school, and they stopped by before they left. And like I said, we were all teary-eyed. And I told them, I said, you know, wherever you go, whatever you do, remember this time, because this is one of those things that we can't teach in school. The school that you learn this from is a school of life. This is one of those life situations I was trying to tell y'all about that you just can't understand until you're in it. And isn't that crazy? Like, sometimes we just don't get things unless we go through it. Think about when you were a child. And your parents, or you were a teenager and your parents are trying to talk to you. Because, you know, at that time you try to teach teenagers and they don't listen to anybody. Or you think they're not listening. And you're telling them about stuff. But it wasn't until you became an adult when you look back and you're like, that's what my parents were trying to tell me. That's what this person was trying to tell me. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just one of those things that you don't get until you walk through it yourself. Nobody can teach it to you. You just have to experience it yourself, which is the downfall of the whole living life situation, is there are some lessons you just don't learn until you go through it. Joyce Meyer says this, we live life forwards, but understand it backwards. And that is so profound, because it's true. And it's like, man, why can't we just understand it so we don't have to go through this stuff? But that's why we are supposed to listen to our elders. That's why you're supposed to sit up under people who are older than you and have those experiences so you can avoid those situations. Now, there are some things that you just can't avoid. That's just your walk. That's the path the Lord has put for you. So you just got to walk that out no matter what. You try to do to avoid it, you just gonna have to go through it. But there are some things that we will put ourselves in unnecessarily when we had all of the warning, when we had all of the teaching telling us not to do those things. So this was one of those situations where it was kind of like, I'm trying to figure out how I can say it, but it was a situation that I will say needed to happen for their growth. Because, and that's another thing also, sometimes the Lord will allow us to go through things because we need to grow. And sometimes we go through those things because we get ourselves into that trouble, or, you know, just the situation presents itself. But no matter what, the Lord uses that for our benefit. He uses that for our growth. And so that's where Romans 8:28 comes in, because it says, and we know, it's already been established in our minds. We know that all things work together for the good to those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. You know, like believers, every single thing that happens in our life in this faith walk it works together for our good. The good, the bad, the ugly, everything. The things that we feel like shouldn't happen. I mean, the thing is, like, I hate to say it, and I don't want y'all to take it the wrong way. I had to go through what I went through in my past. Because if I wouldn't have gone through that, as horrible and traumatic as that was, if I wouldn't have gone through that, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. And I know it's so, that's, and I believe that's why that scripture is in the Bible, that God's ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts. Like his ways are, you know, higher than the heavens above. You know what I'm saying? Like, I believe that's why that's in there, because we just don't understand as humans, because it doesn't make sense. But God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Excuse me. So it's like, how can you say that needed to happen? So you needed to be, you know, molested? And no, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if I didn't go through that, how could I test, how, what testimony would I have of God's protection? Because it could have went way worse than what it did. It could have been so much worse. It was bad. It was awful. What I went through was awful, and nobody should have to go through that. It's just that through that and the effects of it, the living in a trauma response state for so many years, and going through unpacking all of these different layers of trauma that I, you know, that my body naturally set up to protect me, going through all of those things, going to therapy, and it's like I'm having to learn God in so many different areas. I'm having to learn him as my friend. I'm having to learn who he is as my protector, as my provider, as my confidant, as, like, I'm having to learn all of the different ways. I don't want to say different ways, but all of the different every layer of who he is, I'll say. I'm having to learn all of the layers of who God is. How can we call him our provider if we never go through a situation where we don't know how the bills are going to get paid? I know him as my provider now, from 2021 all the way up until the beginning of this year. Like, I'm telling, listen, I say even towards the end of 2024, my account stayed in the red. You hear me? It stayed in the red. That my account stayed in the red all the time. I couldn't get myself out of that hole. But because I went through that season, I know him as my provider. And I know no matter what's in my account now, he gonna provide for me. I don't know how he gonna do it. Y'all, I had a check show up to my house last year for like $500, $600 from my mortgage company. I didn't know that check. Like, and it came at the right time. I've had checks come in my mailbox for different amounts from companies that I owe bills to, pay them off. They sending me checks talking about, oh, we owed you this because you paid too much. Since when? But it always came at the right time. Even sometimes when I didn't know I needed it. He's my provider. Had food in the refrigerator. Bills were always paid, though. Bills were always paid. Because he's my provider. He's my fortress. He's my shield. He's my protector. Like, I'm learning who he is through all of these different situations. And sometimes we have to go through the difficult situations to learn who God is in that situation. That way, when we go past that situation, past that season, we can always remember, no, 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 no. when we face a new challenge in the same category. No, no, no. Because I remember when I went through this the last time, God still did this. He was this. He was my peace. He was my shield. He was my everything. You know, like that's what these situations teach us. And so I told my students, my two young men, I told them, I said, learn from this experience and do better. I said, this is going to teach you, this experience should have taught you how to be humble and to keep your mouth closed. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like sometimes we get into trouble because we don't know how to keep our mouth shut. We don't know how to just sit there. And of course, younger people, you know, tend to pop out, and it's not all the time, but you know, they're more so impulsive than older people. But then you got some older people who still impulsive, like they're a teenager, and it's like, but yeah, you got some impulsivity things there when it comes to people who are younger. And so you may say something that you didn't need to say, or you may do something that you didn't need to do, and you got to live with the consequences. And I've always taught my students, the older you get, the harsher the consequences. Especially now that I teach seniors, I'm like, y'all can't. I say, you're going to make mistakes, but be careful of the mistakes that you make, if that makes sense. Because some of the things that you walk into it with your eyes wide open, and you already know the dangers and the consequences of it, but you still do it anyway. Why? I said, you got to choose your consequences wisely. You got to pay attention to what you're involving yourself in, especially, you know, we got students getting ready to go to college, you know, they're getting ready to graduate from high school, get ready to go to college. And it's like, you got to pay attention to what you put yourself in, what you involve yourself in, because life is not kind. Not at all. Life is not kind. And so these two students, they transferred, they're at another school, and they just took off. They took off. They're actually getting ready to go to state this week for basketball. And I'm just like, wow. Like, they literally exemplify Romans 8:28. Like, he turned it around. He worked it all out for their good. You can even apply Genesis 50:20. What the enemy meant for evil, God turned it around for good. He did. He worked it out in our favor. And so I brought all of that up to encourage us today that no matter what it is that you're going through, God is going to work it out for your good. He's going to do it. He's going to, I don't know what it is. I don't know what your situation is. I don't know. You may be a federal employee here in the United States and you just lost your job. But maybe, just maybe, the Lord was already telling you to quit and you wouldn't do it. You were being disobedient. Sometimes the Lord has to shove us and kick us out of one season to go into the next because we refuse to move. So in order to get us into the next season, sometimes he has to shake our lives up. That may come with the loss of a job. That may come with the death of a relative or somebody close. That may come. And it's like, why is all this bad stuff happening? Yeah, it's not because, oh, I forgot to take trash out and I'm in disobedience. No, 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 no. It's just that we get so comfortable where we are that we get complacent and lazy. We are creatures of habit. We like things. We, as much as, you know, some people like, no, I'm free as a bird. I just go where the wind takes me. No, you don't. No, you don't. You have a routine. You may not see your routine, but you have a routine. Everybody has a routine. I have a routine. This week, my schedule was disrupted because I completely forgot that we had an all-day training one day this week. And I was thinking it was going to be a short meeting. It ended up being an all-day training. I'm like, I didn't put it in my calendar. So I was completely thrown off. And when I tell you, I didn't recover until about 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning. Because I was still trying to figure out, where did I go wrong with this? That thing threw me off. It threw me off. Because we're creatures of habit. I know I get up in the morning, get myself ready, feed my dog, try to eat breakfast, you know, go through traffic, get to work. I help out in the front office as soon as I get to work because there's so many kids going through the front office. Go to my classroom, look at the lesson for the day, get stuff ready. Like, I have a routine. I have a routine, and that threw me off. And it would be different if I'd have known ahead of time, but I forgot. I completely forgot. And, so sometimes the Lord will disrupt our routine, because when you get stuck in a routine, you just start skimping on your Bible study. You don't put as much effort into looking up the scriptures and really studying because you've gotten into a routine. You stop praying. You just, you know, like it, you start slacking. So sometimes the Lord got to shake stuff up. You got to allow some stuff. You're like, all right, go. He'll allow the enemy. Like, okay, go touch that over there. Just like he did with Job. You know what? Go touch that area right there. Let's see what happens. It might be you lost your job. How are you going to react? See, now you got to be on alert. We're supposed to, y'all, like, the Bible calls us, and I think it's in 2 Corinthians, the Bible calls us soldiers. I mean, look at Ephesians. We got to put on the full armor of God. You know, like, we're soldiers in the army of the Lord, okay? Soldiers, a good soldier is always watchful, very vigilant, okay? Vigilance is like a characteristic of a good soldier. You're not vigilant when you get comfortable in your routine. You're not. And I know I have it in here. It's going to be a minute because I didn't know I was going to use the scripture. But hold on 1 second. So I know it's probably, I can't remember. I can't remember if it's in Kings. Like, I can't remember if it's in 2 Kings or Chronicles. I believe it's in 2 Kings. And it says, hold on. They're only giving me Isaiah. I know I've seen it because it had to do with Solomon. Oh, I was right there. Okay. Let's see. Yep. 1 Kings 11. I was saying 2 Kings. It was 1 Kings. I'm sorry for yawning, y'all. My brain is trying to get oxygen. Okay. Here it is. So, this is what happened. The Lord, I can't remember exactly what Solomon did, but Solomon went after other gods. I mean, Solomon had 1,000 wives and concubines together. I don't even understand that math. How you accumulate 1,000 women, 1,000 in one lifetime is crazy. Like, y'all, that's another study for another day, because that makes absolutely no sense to me. Okay. So in 1 Kings chapter 11, you'll see Solomon and the Lord are having a conversation. And the Lord is like, I told you not to go after other gods. But since you have gone after other gods and started worshiping other gods, because what happened is Solomon married women from all over the place. Women who worshiped all kind of deities. And we all know a woman has a way with a man's heart. If a woman can get a man's heart, she got him. Okay. So, these women pulled Solomon's heart away from God. And we know how Solomon started off. He's David's son. He was David's son. And he knew the ways of the Lord. And he was worshiping the Lord. He built the temple and everything like that. But as soon as he started getting all them, probably around wife number 322 and concubine number 78. You know, it might have been like that. I don't know. I'm trying to understand how you married all these women. But did he even know their names, or he just gave them numbers? Like, I can't. So anyway, now the Lord said that in verse 9, it says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice. Now that, y'all, I don't have time to go into detail, but this is Old Testament. So this is before Jesus physically showed up. Now, Jesus is throughout the whole Bible. And if you don't see Jesus in throughout the whole Bible, then I don't know who's teaching you, but you need to sit down. So the Lord appeared unto Solomon twice. Definitely know that one time when the Lord asked him, what did he want? Not in a bad way, not like what you want, not like that. He just asked him, like, what do you want of me? Like, what do you want me to give you? You know, like that. So I know that definitely was one time. But yeah, God didn't just show up on the scene for everybody. The only person I know he really was like having like one-on-ones with is Moses. He talked to Abraham too a lot, but mostly Moses. You know what I'm saying? Moses, the Bible even says he saw God face to face. But technically, I can't get into all of that. Nobody's seen God at any time, okay? I can't do all the explanation right now about Moses thing, because I don't want to get off topic. But the Bible has said that he's seen God face to face. He's the only person that's seen God face to face. Moses saw God's backside. He saw his glory revealed unto him. But yeah, so God didn't just show up. He can't be around sin. We're sinful people. He can't. That's why he sent Jesus. Okay. And then when Jesus died and came back, and then he went to heaven, Jesus did a lot of traveling, by the way. But when he died, came back, went to heaven, the transfiguration thingy, I think I'm saying that right. But he sent his Holy Spirit. That's why the whole day of Pentecost, 50 days after his crucifixion, Holy Spirit shows up on the scene. So now when you choose to follow Jesus, you get the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit speaks, because it's 3 in 1. So the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. But back then in the Old Testament time, like when Solomon was alive, You had prophets who would be the mediators for God. That's why prophets are so important. However, during this time, we have false prophets, a lot of them. So you got to be careful, because you had a lot of false prophets saying one thing around election time. They saying something different now, but we ain't going to digress into that. Okay. So verse 9 says the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from him. And then in verse 10, it says, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So God even gave him a warning. God gave him a warning, like, stop. And God sometimes will give us warnings. But, sometimes we just hard-headed. Verse 11 says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee. I'm snatching it away from you and will give it to your servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days, I will not do it for David, thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David, my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So he's basically, what the Lord was saying is, I'm going to take the kingdom, but I'm going to leave one part for it because of the covenant I had with David. See, that goes to show you, David is dead. David has been dead for a very long time at this point. His father, King David. But because of the covenant, see, that shows you right there, God does not break his promises. He kept that promise. There are some promises God made your grandmama concerning her grandchildren. And that's the only reason why you're still here. Ooh, Jesus. There are some promises that God made your grandfather concerning his great-grandchildren, and that is the only reason why you're still here, because of that promise. That's why it is your responsibility to now walk after the Lord. You can't rely on what they had going on, because that was between them and God. That was their relationship with the Father. You got to establish your own relationship, because once you establish your own relationship and your prayers start going forth, think of the prayers that you will pray that will cover your great grandchildren or your great great grandchildren. You know what I'm saying? Like, think about those covenants that you can have established with the Lord when you develop a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ. You have to. That's the only way that's going to work. And that's how it's supposed to work. The parents are supposed to teach their children about Jesus and having a relationship with him. So that way there is continuity there in that family established with the Lord. There is a family at my church, my pastor's family. And I've been at this church since I was 11, 12 years old. So I'm basically like an honorary PK. This family, their parents, and I think it was their grandparents. Their grandparents, I believe, They already had a relationship established with the Lord. So their parents start walking in it. My pastor, his dad was a preacher. You know, like, he is the founder of our church. So it's just legacy. But when my pastor and his siblings came along, guess what? They couldn't just rely on their parents. They had to have a relationship established with the Lord as well. And they couldn't just rely on what their parents did. And because they established a relationship with the Lord themselves, now their children, for the most part, are walking in it. Their children have been taught the ways of the Lord. And now their children have had children. And they're teaching them still. That's how a legacy is supposed to go. The greatest thing a parent can pass on to their children is not money. It's not houses or land. It is a relationship with Jesus. Teaching them about Jesus. That is the greatest legacy ever. And my mom, I remember we were going over her insurance stuff and life insurance policy or whatever like that, which is very hard to do with your parents, because it's like what you mean you're not going to be here one day? Like, I don't understand that. But she had tears in her eyes and she said, I just don't have anything to leave you. I don't have anything, you know, with stuff health-wise, what goes on with me and stuff. And I can't get a life insurance policy or whatever, whatever, you know, the situation. But she was just like, I can't leave you anything. And I'm like, you have left me everything. You have walked before the Lord, and I have been alive to see your walk with the Lord. And that is what you have left me. What a relationship with the Lord looks like. That is more to me than any amount of money that you could leave. Because that right there, because all what's done for Christ will last. Anything that's done for Christ is going to last. And that is the greatest gift she could have given me, is her relationship with the Lord. Which keeps me going in my relationship with the Lord, because I'm like, I have an example. I have an example of somebody who walked it out, who thugged it out, as you know, the kids say. She thugged this thing out in all of the stuff that she's been through. So I have an established like example right there. And because of David's relationship with the Lord did not take the entire kingdom away, but he snatched it back. He's like, no, you can't have this. You can't have this no more because you're messing up. And because of that, this is the part I wanted to get to. In verse 14, he says in 1 Kings 11, and the Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon. I said all of that to say, sometimes the Lord, but through our disobedience, because if the Lord, like, I mean, just think about it, the Lord said, it's time for you to move. You're like, I ain't moving. I ain't going to another job. I'm not going to go. No, that's wrong. The Lord says it. I feel like, wait a minute. Let me be careful. Hold on. What's getting ready to happen, Lord? Because I feel like this is one of the moments I'm going to have to go back and listen to my own self. Now. You ever had those moments where it's like, as you're saying something, you slow down. You're like, wait a minute. I feel like this is about to apply to me. Oh, Lord. Let's not use moving as career change. Let's say Lord told you to quit your job and start your own business. Just, you know, example. And you like, no, because I need income. How am I supposed to just quit my job? I got a family to take care of. I got bills to pay. Like, what you mean, Lord? Like, that don't make sense. And you stay at the job. And you know what? Because of God's grace, he allows you to stay maybe another 6 months, maybe another year. But guess what he going to do? He going to stir up an adversary. Now you getting called to the carpet for everything. Now you going through all of this hardship. You on your knees praying hard, fasting and praying. God, why can't get me out of this? He told you to move. He told you to quit that job and you did not do it. See, that's sometimes God has to stir up an adversary. Sometimes he does that because we disobedient. He's stirring. The Bible says that he will even make your enemies to be at peace with you. So if he can make your enemies to be at peace with you, he can also stir them up. Just know that. And there's one side to everything. Just like, it's in Joshua. I think it's Joshua chapter 1 where he's saying, now I got to go there. Oh. My brain is really trying to turn on, y'all. I promise. It's like slow start in the morning. He says, Joshua 1 and verse 8. Everybody knows this one. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Here's the thing. if there was only one kind of success, he would have just said, and then you shall have success. Obviously, it's two, because he said good success. So there must be a bad success. See what I'm saying? So if God can make your enemies to be at peace with you, he can also stir them up. There we go. And sometimes he does stir them up because we're not moving, or because we have gotten lazy, we gotten complacent, we're in disobedience. So the enemies get stirred up. I remember that happened to me when I was at my previous school. I had been there. I started working there in 2015. So this was the 2019-2020 school year. When I tell you, it was like a living hell every single day. It was like, why is all of this going on? What is happening? I mean, y'all, I can't go into specifics or details, but just know, like, and here's the thing. It's funny now because when you look back, that's why, you know, what Joyce Meyer said, we live life forward, but understand it backwards. When you look back and see how God used situations and people or whatever to push you into your next, you're like, man, well then, okay, I understand now. But when you're in the middle of it, you don't understand nothing. You just like, why am I going through? Like, y'all, one thing about it, it's like, I mean, I've seen this not just with myself, I've seen it with other people. It's like when somebody's unhappy at their job, you could tell. And y'all, I was just not, my language was different. Like I was just saying negative stuff all the time, and it was really affecting me. And I just couldn't understand what happened, because it's like the previous years, everything was great. I was like, I ain't never. Now, granted, I did apply for a job in Atlanta, but it wasn't time for me. And I'm going to tell you, that was crazy how that happened, because I was trying to go to Fayetteville where my cousin lives, he and his family. And the interview was supposed to be over the phone before Zoom. The interview was going to be over the phone, and I gave them my number to my classroom, because my cell phone, I was in a portable at the time, and sometimes the service wasn't good. So I said, well, if I give them my cell phone number, they call my cell phone number, I don't want my phone. I know what it was. I was in the building also, and so I didn't want to miss the call, because I definitely didn't get any service in the building. And then by the time I got to my portable, it would take a couple of minutes for the service to come. Like, it was real ratchet. So I was like, I'll just give them my classroom number. I'll make sure I come out here at that time. So had it set up, man, kept missing each other. It just wasn't time. And so I ended up staying the following year or whatever. But that 2019-2020 school year, when I tell you, I was ready to walk off the job. Like, it was just a lot of stuff going on. So anyway, towards the end of the year, just about everybody I started with, they were leaving. And I'm like, what? I was like, no. And so I had applied to my alma mater, because the principal there, he and I went to school together, and I actually graduated with his brother. So I was like, oh, I got this. I got this job. You know. And I had already talked to him, and he was like, yeah, just go ahead and make sure you do the application. I was like, cool. So I emailed him. I even messaged him on Facebook, because we were friends on Facebook. So I was like, okay, I got it. You know, now mind you, because it's only two high schools here in Brunswick. So the other high school where I currently work, the other high school had an English teacher position open for like, I want to say almost a year. because they had that position open at the beginning of the school year. And my godmother, who goes in my church, she was like, they got English teacher position over it. I was like, I ain't going to that school. That ain't where I graduated from. I will never work there. Y'all don't ever say what you ain't never going to do. Because let me tell you something. God has a sense of humor. God has a sense of humor. And the very thing you said you not going to do, you going to do it. So that job had been sitting there. Just sitting there. And I remember I was like, man. And I applied for the position at my alma mater and I didn't hear anything back. And then another posting came open because it was in special education. And that's what I was doing at the time was special education, even though I was certified to teach high school English, which is what I wanted to do ever since I started going into my field of study. So I want to teach high school English. And but I got my foot in with special education, which I love teaching special education. I love being a co-teacher and everything. But, so I applied for the other co-teach position at my alma mater. Didn't hear anything back. So I was like, you know what? I'll just stay here and I'll thug it out. I'll see it through another year. Let me tell you what happens. I got thrown under the bus. Somebody threw me under the bus and it was stupid. It was stupid. It was so stupid. I'm like, you threw me under the bus for it. Okay. And then, you know how people will do something, will throw you under the bus or do something like that, and then they want to cry about it. Why are you crying? You did what you did because you did what you did. Like, own up to it and walk it out like a boss. You did what you did. Like, there's no need for tears. That's how I feel. You made that choice because you thought it was best to cover your behind and leave mine out in the wind. And that's, hey, and if that's how you move, thank you for showing me that. And that's how I took it. Like, thank you. So I got thrown under the bus and I was like, oh no, I got to get out of here. Cause I literally, and I didn't even say it. I remember I did not, those moments be killing. Like they really kill me when these moments happen, because I'm like, that was nothing but the Lord. Because I didn't say anything out loud about staying. I kept that in my heart. And that's when that thing happened. I got thrown on the bus. I said, well, I'll be doggone. So I think that was like the last week of school. And before, you know, for summer break. So the following week, I'm laying in my bed in my parents' house because I had moved out at that time. But my room looked like it was ready to move. I had containers everywhere because I had outgrown my room. So I'm laying in bed and then the sun hit my eyes around 7 o'clock in the morning. I had just woke up. I had just gotten, like, opened my eyes. I'm looking at my phone and I get a call from the other school. And I'm like, what the heck is going on here? And it's 7 o'clock in the morning. I answer that phone. And it's a voice on that phone. And I said, the voice is like, Miss Cooper, this is Miss So-and-so from So-and-so, So-and-so. How are you doing this morning? I know it's very early in the morning and I apologize for calling you so early. But I really wanted to know if you wanted to interview for this so-and-so position over here at so-and-so. Y'all, your girl said, I didn't apply for you. I was like, I didn't apply with y'all. She said, I know, I got it off the system. I saw your application come through the system, so I got it. Oh, okay, well, sure. I heard the Holy Spirit say, if you don't say yes, you gonna go through more. If you thought that was, I literally heard the Holy Spirit say, if you do not say yes, if you thought that was bad, you gonna go through a lot worse if you go back to this. Okay. Yes, I'm going to, yes, I'll interview, you know. And long story short, I've been over there almost 5 years. This coming August will be my fifth year. So, yeah. It's, y'all, seriously, it's, when God wants you to move, he might stir some stuff up. He might allow some hardships to come in, but that's to get us to move. Because other than that, like, y'all, I was willing to stay in a situation that was tumultuous. I was willing to stay in a situation that was very, I was willing to stay because I had gotten so comfortable there. I was like, I was more comfortable at going to my alma mater because all the people who were there when I was working as a secretary and working in a special education classroom as a parapro, all of those people were still there. So I would have still felt comfortable there. And plus I graduated from there. That would have made sense. It made sense in my mind. Just go back where you came from. God, a lot of times we try to stay in places that are comfortable because we're too afraid to move forward to the unknown. A lot of times we try to stay in the places that are comfortable because we're too afraid to move into the unknown. We don't know what's there. What's going to happen when I get there? Y'all, as soon as I stepped on the campus of the school that I work in now, like became teacher of the month, all of these things started falling into place. Like it was great. Things that went unnoticed and unrecognized at the former school, this school recognizes it. They recognized everything. And that's one thing about having a good administration team or a great boss is you'll do whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like you're like, okay, I don't mind doing those things. I don't mind doing what's asked of me because they make it so that it's like you want to. And that's how we should be with the Lord. He does so many, and it's not just what he does for us. It's just who he is. You know, like we talk about having good bosses and stuff here on earth, but everybody's still human. Everybody's still flawed. God is not flawed. He don't make mistakes. He doesn't fail us. He doesn't leave us. He doesn't. He's God. So it's like sometimes in the mornings when I'm taking my dog out, I step outside and I just have to stand there in awe looking at the sunrise. Sun hadn't even come up yet. And the colors, the blending of the every morning is a new scene. Because he does that. He doesn't do that for me. He does that for him. He want a pretty sky. We just get the benefit of seeing it. And it's beautiful. Sometimes when I take her out at night, I just look up at the stars. It's so many stars. And I'm like, every star he created with just one word. Just because he wanted some stars. And we get to reap the benefits of it. You know, like, God is just awesome. He's just good like that. He's awesome. And I still don't have a title for this, but y'all will see it when it comes up. But just whatever you're going through, just realize that sometimes he allows the hardships to come into our lives because he needs us to refocus. He needs us to put our focus back on him, back into perspective. Because we got too complacent where we were. Sometimes we get so complacent, we start getting arrogant because we feel like we've done stuff. We've accomplished all this stuff over here. So he has to move us out of that comfort zone and put us basically where our comfort zone is. We're like the big fish in a little pond. So he got to make us the little fish in the big pond. He got to put us back in an uncomfortable position so we could realize, wait a minute, I got too big for my britches, as the old folks say. You know what I'm saying? Like, he got to put everything in perspective. We got to keep everything in perspective. We got to stay on our toes. We can't get comfortable, especially not in these times. We can't afford to get comfortable. We can't afford to get comfortable. We got to stay vigilant. We got to stay watch. We got to watch ourselves. We got to make sure that we aren't doing stuff, allowing things into our life that's going to allow us to be complacent. Okay, that's all I have for y'all today. Like I said, y'all will see a title. I don't know what it is. Just know it's season 4, episode 4. I hope y'all have a great week. And I'll talk to y'all later. Bye.